Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
We're coming back to Great Sounds of Music, my family, with the question playing in your background this afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to you. It's Heart to Heart on a Thursday afternoon. The Markets is up next with Dr. Lucas Moloi. And we are continuing with a conversation that started last week, my family, gatekeeping. We understood from our conversation last week that industry gatekeeping is necessary. There are positive to industry gatekeepers, whilst it is important for those industry gatekeepers, rather let me start by giving a definition of an industry gatekeeper as an employee who handles administrative responsibilities for executives. Dr. Lucas Moloi was explaining that it's a very important, to make sure that if you're trying to gain entrance into a place, into a sector, into a territory and environment, understand who the gatekeepers are, and that would be your first place of investment, gatekeepers are necessary in many industries. They are people or policies that act as go-betweens between controlling access from one point to another. Doc, good afternoon and thank you so much for your time.
Good afternoon, Aya, and good afternoon to the listeners. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so blessed month ahead, Doc, and we're looking forward to great and bigger things. Especially as we consider now, and we are praying and watching, and we are watching the move, with the new cabinet in place, we want to see, where are the focus areas. We're already seeing reports from the, Minister of Agriculture, and we really, really love that. I'm looking at a report here, Doc. It's PwC's Africa Business Agenda. I think it's a quarterly report, the April 2024 edition. And the question here, there's lots of questions being answered, and I want to encourage the family to find that report, have a look at it. One of the questions that are asked to the CEOs, right? It's a survey that includes a pool of CEOs. How do you believe global economic growth, i.e. the GDP, will change, if at all, over the next 12 months? In terms of global growth, a lot of people, 60% of the CEOs say that global growth will grow by 60% territory economic growth by 34%. These are CEOs, Doc. There's somewhere I'm getting to with this. And confidence in revenue growth in the next 12 months, 46% are extremely confident, 33% are moderately confident, 13% are slightly confident, 8% not confident. Confidence in revenue growth in the next 3 years, 56% of the CEOs interviewed are extremely confident, 34% moderately confident, 10% slightly confident. Now, these are typical industry gatekeepers, let me put it that way. So a CEO, whilst they are a leader in their organization, but they also have access to regulatory bodies, to committees where policies are discussed, and in not so many subtle ways, they can act as industry gatekeepers, Doc.
Definitely.
And yeah,
definitely.
This is their outlook, Devadoc, over the economy. Are we able to make a connection between this particular picture that I am reading out, according to the report, to the possible activity, and when I say activity, the possible tightening of rules and a closing of doors versus an opening of industries? Can we reasonably make a connection between this and perhaps access or a lack of access to industry?
Yes. So I when you look in this whole thing, I think also you're mentioning something very key about CEOs being the gatekeepers of the industry as well.
Mm.
And this takes us to a discussion that you've been seeing in the past 2 weeks or so, with the cabinet discussions happening in that, or the GNU discussions happening in that, where today you hear the rent is doing well, tomorrow the rent is not doing better, you know, and the question that we ultimately raised, which said, you know, what is more important in making these decisions? Should those making decisions be worried more about what the industry say, or should they be worried about what the voters are saying? You know, is it the economy, the market, or is it the people that matter? And this is where you then see the role of CEOs in this thing. So a couple of years ago, I had a discussion with a lot of industry CEOs at that stage in my role as the chairperson of the South African Quality Institute. And when I was talking with this CEO within that, you know, I raised one matter and said, look, it is all well that we've got CEOs in the country that are running retail companies and that, and you find that someone, you hear that someone has made over 200 million in that year in personal earnings, you know, in salaries and bonuses and that. Yet when you look, you find the tellers of the very same companies earning less than 4,000 rand, less than 3,000 rand a month. And I was saying it is, you know, it's scary that when we look at this also, the very same people that are supposed to be leaders in particular industries and making sure that they develop those that are workhorses in that industry, then you find them ensuring that the workhorse remains the workhorse, and even the conditions, and exactly, and even their conditions at home don't grow. So I sit and say, it doesn't matter, even if a person was willing to study, the fact that this companies are not offering bursaries to their employees to do better. The fact that the salary doesn't allow you to study something at school, even at night, in order to improve your personal skill and qualifications, and that means that there is then a deliberate attempt to keep you at the bottom of the food chain.
So we see
then CEOs also playing a huge part in ensuring that people are kept at the bottom of the food chain while they are doing better. And it again goes through that same thing that where I am more concerned only about me and nobody else. And what does then it say about the industry? What then does it say about the whole gatekeeping of the industry? We get people that are not only gatekeepers in the industry in terms of businesses, but also gatekeepers in the industry in terms of the very same contributors of that industry, where the CEOs then will tend to force politicians to take a certain stance, because if we don't take that decision, then the market will not favor the decision that we take. So you find them being gatekeepers both for the workhorses of that industry and at times for the legislators of that particular industry as well.
Sure, Doc. That is a huge eye-opener, and I'm hoping that a huge responsibility being opened up, you know, a can of responsibility being opened up to those of us who aspire, you know, to becoming CEOs and leaders in the organizations where the Lord has planted us. This afternoon, Doc, maybe let's try and dive in further to then ask the question, how then do captains of industry, gatekeepers of industry, Doc, you know, break the mold? The mold, because you see, the actions that you describe, you know, that's a mold. It's not an individual action. So I could be sitting in the seat of a CEO, and I don't necessarily like the fact that, you know, my entry-level staff, you know, is earning just above the minimum wage. I don't like that, but there's a mold in place that I am subjected to. What can and must be done, Doc? And I ask this specifically to look at those traditional industries, advertising being one of them, for example. You know, we are seeing a shift and a change, but those industries, they are concentrated to a particular ethnic group, you know. They are concentrated to a particular skill level. There's no space in the advertising industry for those who are just semi-skilled to enter and to be trained. And you find that actually advertising is more a gift than it is, you know, a technical skill. You learn it as you go along. So what can be done? What can and must be done?
Look, I think also in that case, Aya, is that, you know, this is where now the more important definition of an entrepreneur being someone that disrupts the normal.
Right.
Someone that disrupts the normal in order to completely create a situation and an environment that is... that is changing the industry or the lives of the people that are affected by that industry. However, if we do not see that bravery from entrepreneurs taking a stand on such things and shifting such things, then you then find that space where things in an industry remaining the same because the industry does not have entrepreneurs in it. So you find the industry has got business managers in it that wants to manage the status quo of the industry instead for a disruptor who comes and sets up that industry on a different path. And that's where the change comes in. The change comes in where someone comes in to really improve and ensure that the industry goes into uncharted waters, the industry grows into the space that it was not. So breaking that mold takes then that something that is a bit special, that you find mostly in entrepreneurs and more than business managers. And this is what usually we really encourage, that the more entrepreneurs you see in a space, in a sector, the much growth which is spread in all directions will you see into that industry, instead of a parallel growth that the industry will go into, because that is the only way that the industry is willing to go. So that breaking the mold means understanding that the industry might not be used to this, but if we want it to change, we're going to have to adapt a certain stance that might not be popular with my peers in the industry. So if an industry comes in, for an example, I see the Navy that said, for South African retailers, in order for South African retailers to really change the playing field when it comes to South African farmers, small farmers, and such, it's going to take them one person taking a decision and say, I am going to buy from the local suppliers. I'm going to buy from local producers. I'm going to buy from local farmers. It may not be what happens in the industry, but it's not going to change until I myself start buying from the local farmers, so that everybody realizes that there is a market for that, that it's fresh produce, that it's this, that they're not traveling another 8 hours to get to my shelves. So you need such a pioneer in the industry in order to break the mold.
Well said, Doc. I think we're going to leave it there. Next week, I'd like us to investigate that a little bit and maybe, you know, pull a bit of the plug, you know, in getting into the more uncomfortable conversations around, as you've already said, Doc, that it's uncomfortable, you know, as a leader to know that I'm now disrupting and the disruption is not going to look good on my peers' balance sheet. It's not going to look good, you know, on their books, but it has to, somebody has to be bold enough, you know, to stand at the gates of an industry and say, this one, Yona, there's a hole in the wall that has to be drilled in order for a different sort of direction to be taken and for people, you know, to be given access to industry. And I suppose then, Doc, you know, in addition to that, the conversation that I think we want to investigate for next week is also then understanding that, you see, gatekeeping it's not just a leadership thing. Sometimes I can position myself as a gatekeeper and I'm not even a leader.
Yes.
You know, like as you said last week, maybe I'm just a receptionist, you know, and I have decided in my heart of hearts that 20-year-olds are never going to get into this organization. You know what I mean? So I think let's investigate, you know, dual responsibility. Let's investigate perhaps even ethnic blind spots, Doc, that we have.
Definitely.
You know, let's investigate ageism, you know, generational incorporation, all of that very important.
Definitely. Yeah. And I the parting shot there for me would be that we see it all the time where the gatekeeping becomes I am Ayanda and I am the first black accountant.
Ooh,
I'm the only woman around the table, and what one does then tends to do is to keep others of their same demographics out, because then it erases the status of being the only one in that industry. So such gatekeepers also it's something that becomes a problem, where someone wants to change things in an industry but doesn't want to affect or offend those in their ethnic group. I don't want to be seen as the one that that destroyed the group that our ethnic group had in the space. So those are the things to really look at. Yeah.
Sure, Doc. Next week it is, my Doc. Between now and then, where do we find you? Where do we follow you? How do we get in touch with you?
So the website is www.lucasmoloi.co.za. It's lucasmoloi.co.za. On X and on LinkedIn, it is at Lucas Moloi.
Fantastic, Doc. Absolutely appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much for migrating over with us to Thursday. Really, really appreciate it, Doc. And I will check in with you next week, yeah?
Thank you very much. Have a blessed week.
Fantastic. My family, Dr. Lucas Moloi. Yeah, the negotiations behind the scenes. I didn't even have to negotiate with Doc. He's such a blessing, such a blessing. Please do follow him. Amazing, amazing contributor in the small business, small medium enterprise business space. A business coach, and he's done amazing, amazing things, gives amazing talks. If you'd like somebody to motivate your staff and maybe even matriculants, he's definitely the guy to go to if you're stuck in your business, you know, like I have been many, many times. He has a way, you know, around the mazes that we go through as business people. Truly appreciate you, Doc, and certainly looking forward to that conversation continuing next week between 1 and 1:30. 1:33 is your time. We're crossing over to the roads to help you navigate your traffic. And Yazini on the other side. Joyous celebration is in the house. My family really looking forward to it. Your traffic is up next.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.